Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's presentation. First of all, thank you so much, David, for putting together such an amazing event. It's the three-day galore of trading psychology, talking about derivatives, talking about futures options, such a great environment and such a great market to trade in. 2023, amazing market, an amazing market for the bull market and for the traders that know how to read trends. Today, I'm going to be talking about something super special, and that is how you can exploit earnings season for maximum gains. Guess what? Not trading stocks, not trading options, but trading futures and day trading futures for most part. And this is fast trade with awesome results. We're going to get you right into the material. But before I do that, I see a lot of new people here that are very new, so I'm going to take a second for a quick presentation, for a quick intro. My name is Anka Metcalf, and I'm the CEO and founder of TradeOutLoud.com, which is a trading education that is specialized in educating individuals how to day trade, swing trade, and invest in any market, whether it is the futures market, the stock market, whether you want to do options, whether you want to do cryptos, Forex, any instrument of any kind. And I have been doing this for over 20 years. I come with 10 plus years in investment banking. I run a swing trading service for stocks and ETFs since 2010. And yes, you do have the full performance on our website. So how many companies out there have that, right? Not too many, if not any at all. So yes, we do have all the trades in there, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And surprise, there are no ugly trades, by the way. But anyways, you have an idea of how we perform since 2010. So you have a pretty good benchmark. You have about 13 years of trading activity. I also have created the day trading futures room, the Power Income Futures Room, in 2017. And that is when I literally navigated a little bit away from stock trading. I dove actually into stock trading when I quit my job. And I decided to go literally into generating an income from the markets, and specifically from the stock market. I was day trading, swing trading, and investing in the stock market. It took me about 2 years to learn how to day trade. And after I've learned how to day trade, I actually dove into, and I opened a trading account, and I dove into day trading. That was the time when I quit my job. And I needed to give this not only a shot, but I needed this to work. I was determined. I was really determined to make day trading work for me. And it was not easy coming from the investor side and diving into the day trading side. But here I am today. And because I was paying tons of taxes and there was a lot of reporting at the end of the year, my CPA advised me to look at other instruments like the futures market. I have an accountant that is specialized in trading and trading trading that is for taxes. So she decided to say, "Hey, you know what? It's time to look at futures." And I was like, "I don't know about that," but I gave it a shot, and I didn't look back since then. It's definitely less trading on my side, because when I was day trading literally from 9 o'clock in the morning. I was starting my pre-market game plan around 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 a.m., because you need to do the homework before the market opens. You need to scan for gaps. You need to evaluate your market conditions. You need to compile your hot list, your bullish list, your bearish list, and so on. In the futures market, you don't really need to do that. You basically have four charts that you focus on. And of course, yes, you do have tons of other commodities, but the way I look at commodities is more from the swing trading standpoint. So that made my life super easy. Because how many of you guys in here are day trading stocks? Just type a one. How many of you guys are day trading stocks? Type of one, or even swing trading stocks, type of one, because there is one common denominator that every trader, or even options trader, there's one common denominator that you guys need to do before you dive into any kind of trade. And that is evaluate the market conditions, right? You're always evaluating the market conditions. You're looking at the SPYs, you're looking at the NASDAQ, you're looking at S&P, you're looking at, all right, let me know if you guys can see the screen right here. All right, do you guys see the screen? All right, I don't know if you guys can see it. I don't know, it's kind of weird on my side because it doesn't show up, but anyways. So if you guys can see this screen, I have the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, nobody, you guys cannot see the screen. And I have Russell, and this is the one common denominator. I'm sorry, David, can you see it?
Yeah, I can see it fine.
Okay, cool. Thanks so much. Because I don't see the highlight of the screen on my side. So it was kind of weird. So basically, you need to evaluate the market and see how the market is behaving, right? You need to see the Qs, the SPYs, the diamonds, right? And you need to see the correlation between them. You need to establish a leader and laggard leaderboard, right? So what is running and what's lagging? And then, for example, if you have NASDAQ that is running, it means that most likely you have some sectors, some tech, you know, tech, semiconductors, et cetera, that are stronger than, let's say, financials or energy stocks or, you know, so-and-so. Then you would have the impact into the SPYs, right? So you pick the most relative strength index in a strong market environment, and you pick stocks within the strongest sector, so you can have a faster velocity to the upside within those stocks, right? So there's a lot of homework that goes into being a day trader. And I'm not saying I loved every second of it, and I still love it, but now I'm on the swing side of stocks. I'm not into the day trading side of stocks, even though in the trading room I do, because I love trading stocks, I do have suggestions for day trades. I just cannot refrain myself. So I specialize in high velocity trades. Like I said, high velocity trades is the capacity of getting in a trade and getting into the target super, super fast. And I do use a correlation of timing, momentum, and I do use an Elliott wave fusion type of technique to determine these levels that I trade on. So price support resistance, I use the 8 layers of price support resistance. I'm a highly technical trader. I was trained to be super accurate in my technical analysis, is in my read into the market with laser sharp precision and to key levels. I also have developed specific trigger times. These are proprietary to Trade Out Loud. I was mentored by a Goldman Sachs institutional trader that taught me all the ins and outs of institutions. So that's the way I trade. I trail an old school technical type of analysis and trading. And because you guys know who basically gives the formula to the computer guys, right? To write the specific formulas for the algorithms, it's institutional traders. They're the ones that are giving the formulas, right? So we're basically trading a highly algorithmic style of trading when it comes to day trading, but also when it comes to swing trading and more. So I have developed specific trigger times for the New York trading session that are meant to be in correlation with the setups. So when you have a setup, you need to have the timing for the setup. You need to have the specific price zone. And yes, you need to apply the chart correlation, meaning are the charts synchronized or are the charts divergent? This is a concept that I taught for many, many years, and now I see it, you know, literally being adapted by other and adopted by other traders without knowing where that is coming from. But yes, we're the ones that created these divergency plays and trades into our system. So for example, if you're trading futures and if you're seeing that this morning, for example, not far from this morning, we had the Dow and Russell that were divergent in comparison to NASDAQ. NASDAQ was a lot more powerful than the Dow was, right? So you want to pick, for example, trades in NASDAQ. And this is what we did. We picked trades in NASDAQ and we left trades for the Dow for later in the day because we had a parameter over 600 that created that moderate bullish above scenario. So from that point on, shorting would not be an option and we would continue higher. But more about that when we talk about charting. If you guys want to get a hold of us, you can reach us on tradeoutloud.com and our handle everywhere is Trade Out Loud. So highly recommend you guys follow me on Twitter /TradeOutLoud. There are tons of traders, thousands and thousands of traders that are following me there. I give a plethora of trading ideas for free. So let's talk about earnings, what to expect this earnings season. We're going to talk a little bit about gaps, introduction to futures to for those of you guys that are very, very new. We're going to talk about how to determine entry stops, targets, best time to execute trades, and a whole lot more. So earnings season, right? Earnings season has just started about a week and a half ago. And what does this mean for us? It means that we're going to get more market moves. Did you guys know that there is an easy money season and a hard money season? Yes, there is. The first 6 months of each quarter is where you make your easy money. That is when you need to put in your focus. The last 6 months are for specialty trades. It's a little bit harder to trade because the price action is not going to be driven by fundamentals, but it's going to be driven only by economic releases, only by news. It's going to be a news-driven market. It's more likely to be a news-driven market. So now we have the capacity to have the market move in a more volatile way and in a more velocity way that is more sustained way because we're into the fundamental cycle of the price action movement. You have these velocity trades that are happening into the earnings season, especially in the first 6 weeks. You're getting the transition from your entry to target, boom, just like that. You're not going to have to wait through painful experiences. And I'm not saying that they're painful, but it's a little bit harder to get the price action into 2 to 3 targets or 4 targets into the last, let's say 6 weeks of the quarter. Now you get target 1, 2, 3, boom, done. You're getting the return of volatility, which is always a good thing. And especially that it's always that beginning of earnings season also coincides as the tech starts reporting earnings. Today we have, and I have some examples for you. Today we have Microsoft and Alphabet that will be reporting after the closing bell. So you're going to see that return of volatility and the velocity that will possibly push or pull the price into the direction obviously set by fundamentals. You're getting bigger price swings. Even when you're trading, even when you're swing trading, you're going to get the power, even if, this, for example, the stop that you have been trading has not received its earnings or its pending earnings, you can see that it has the potential to run into earnings or in rare case that it could stall and be very dull into earnings just because there are some peers that have already reported earnings. And for example, you know, like PayPal and Square, if PayPal reported earnings and have, you know, let's say powerful results, then Square is going to move up with it as well. So it's going to be like this a synchronicity type of action. For the astute trader, this is the period of time when you make the majority of your money. And of course, less time spent in the market, take advantage of the institutional power moves that occur into the first hour of the newer trading session. This is what I call the power hour. I only trade into the first 2 hours of the day from 9:30 to about 11:30 p.m. But I do have trades that I can potentially set for the afternoon trading session. But keep in mind, if you're a day trader and if you're trading futures, futures are not as super active in the PM session as they are in the power hour. They may get their impulse and trading, volume back in into the last hour. And that is the last power hour of the day. That is from 3 o'clock to 4 p.m. So I specialize basically in the first power hour from 9:30 to 10:30. 10:30 is the last setup that I look at into the market for my morning routine. Earnings season is a period of time during which a large number of publicly traded companies release their quarterly earnings, as you guys know. So there are fourth quarters, the first, the second, the third, and the fourth. And right now we're trading into the third quarter. The third quarter is going to end in September. And then we're going to start the last quarter of the year, which is going to be the fourth quarter from September into December. So quarterly earnings reporting is one of the few times during the year when the company is required to report its progress. Analysts, investors, and media wait for these reports with bated breath to see how the progress is going. It's all about expectations. Small companies can see a 20% move in either direction when they report their quarterly earnings. And at times, a very small company will have a blowout, can have potentially have a blowout quarter, and the stock will plateau or go down because the market expectations are too high. So pay attention to what day the company reports earnings, right? It's very important. Some companies with poor results will do a late Friday filing and announcement to try to keep the results out of the news. So keep that in mind, right? So company earnings are released, like I said, before the market open and after the market closes, never into the trading day, and often causing a substantial price movement outside of regular trading hours. You're going to see stocks moving pre-market and aftermarket. And today's going to be a really good, if you're very new to trading, watch Microsoft trading activity today and Alphabet, for example. So the largest reactions typically occur when a company substantially exceeds or misses expectations. Having access to extended hours trading will allow futures traders to react quickly to this news and participate in the initial reaction to the positive or negative news for the underlying stock. So for example, you can capture big moves, and we're just right now ahead of Microsoft and Alphabet from NASDAQ, for example. So when you have Amazon, Google, Netflix, Apple, Facebook, Boeing, et cetera, you're going to have some really big moves in the market. Not for Boeing. Boeing is going to impact what? The Dow, right? And tomorrow, before the market opens, Boeing will report earnings. So that means that we can expect a bigger move and a bigger price swing in the Dow. So always focus on these elements, and that's going to create an easy trading environment for you. It's not hard. You need to create the framework. So for example, I was mentioning that Microsoft and Alphabet will be reporting today. These are the two biggest companies. Visa is part of the S&P and it's also part of the Dow. So you're going to see a substantial move in that particular, in those two particular ETFs or indices. The rest are not very significant in moving the market, but tomorrow before the market opens, we do have Boeing, which is the second or the third heaviest weight in the Dow. So it's going to have a lot to do with the price action trajectory into the Dow. Coca-Cola, Tilray, these are not that significant. Meta, again, is going to impact the trading, not only for the overnight trading session as we're going into Wednesday, as we're going into Thursday, because it reports after the close, right? But it's going to impact the overnight trading session as well as the movement that it's going to go into the Thursday, okay? Intel is a big component of NASDAQ. So this is where NASDAQ is going to start moving. And here you have a plethora of stocks like ExxonMobil. You have Procter & Gamble, Chevron. These three stocks are a big, big part of the Dow. So therefore, on Friday, you guys know already what I'm going to be trading in my trading room. I'm going to be trading the Dow, right? So on Friday, it's going to be easy. Tomorrow morning, you guys pretty much know what I'm going to be trading. I'm going to be trading NASDAQ because of this, and I'm going to be taking a look at the Dow. And if energy stocks are going to continue to rock and roll, then yes, I'm going to be looking at the S&P as well. So I already have my work cut out for me. This is the earnings report by calendar, and this is very interesting, what I was telling you about, because we go crescendo and then we go back down. And like I said, from week six, we're definitely, you know, kind of like going down in earnings. And therefore, the majority of companies that will be reporting into this period of time are not going to be high impact. And therefore, any kind of news announcement is more likely to influence and impact the market than earnings themselves. But we're in, this is where we are right now. This is basically the full week two of releases, and we have two more weeks. Next week, we're going to have a plethora of tech stocks that will be reporting earnings. So it's going to be a really massive week, just like this week. And we have one more week. This is the type of environment where you push the pedal to the metal. And this is one of the reasons why, if you look through my portfolio that I'm going to share with you in a few moments, and by the end of this presentation, you will see that July had a plethora of trades into it. Like every single day, we had more than like 2 to 3, 4 trades in a day, which is very uncommon, okay? Because I typically focus on 1 trade and done, or 2 trades and done. So for those of you that are new to the market, what is the gap? Let's talk about the gap segment. So a lot of times you will see in stocks or the SPX or what have you, you're going to see this type of price action. The price action is going to close over here, and then the next day it's going to open a little bit higher. So a gap is a change in price level between the close price of the prior trading session and the opening price of the next session. Okay, so this is why we have gaps. The gaps are not common for the futures market. They're very rare cases when you have price imbalances where you get some gaps, but other than that, you don't see any gaps. So I'm going to be talking to you right now a little bit more about futures gears, how you can take advantage of all of these really amazing trades, amazing earnings and amazing stocks via futures. But let's talk a little bit about, first of all, maximizing capital efficiency, right? So you guys know that the leverage available for futures allows you to utilize your capital really well, efficiently, more efficiently than for the stock market. Because for example, you have $200,000, and you want to speculate on the direction of the S&P 500, right? For the purpose of this example right here, you have 3 choices. First of all, you buy the 200,000, right? You of stock using all available capital. This is cash, right? This is cash. And this will be done by purchasing what? These SPYs, right? The SPY is the ETF. So you buy $200,000 worth of the SPY, because the SPYs literally replicate the S&P 500 index. And it is regulated and it trades in equity stock like shares. So your exposure right now into the market is your full capital, is your $200,000 worth of SPYs. And this is cash. The second option is if you have a day trading account or a swing trading account, you could take advantage of leverage that is provided by your broker. If you're a swing trader, your broker will have a leverage, will provide you a leverage of 2-to-1 if you're a day trader, 4-to-1. And this will allow you to control the same size portfolio, like here, the $200,000, by only using half of your capital because you are 2-to-1 leverage. So you're using $100,000. And if you're, for example, using a 4-to-1, right, you're using a quarter of your capital. And there's option number 3. Option number 3 is you buy futures, taking advantage of the 10-to-1 leverage available. For example, in the S&P 500 contract, this will allow you to control the same type of $200,000 portfolio by only utilizing and leveraged of $20,000. And a lot of traders are driven, and I want to just make a little parenthesis here. A lot of traders are driven by just trading the ES, trading the E-mini S&P. And I agree, it represents the heaviest traded index, but I would highly suggest do not have blinders on. It's highly traded by algorithms as well, but do not have blinders on, because the specific day with a specific environment correlates with the market environment for that specific day, according to earnings and so far. And if you're just focused on S&P, you may be missing really massive moves in Russell. You may be missing moves in the Dow or NASDAQ. So it's always better to have that global image on the market, see what is happening in each market and take advantage of that market. That is where the money is at, in the things that are moving that day. Because if you have movers in Amazon, in Google, in Meta, And if you do not have movers in the energy sector, or if you do not have any kind of movers in financials, then the Dow and the S&P are going to be sluggish. They're not going to move. They're not going to get into targets. But if you have, for example, one pack of stocks, let's say you have semiconductors, tech is going to be super strong. NASDAQ is going to be the one that is going to start moving for you. So why futures, right? For those of you that are new, just trading, you know, just options or stocks, whatever, you have really good reliable volume. One thing that I love, you got this 24 hours hands-on trading. So oftentimes during earnings season, I look at the market around between 9 and 10 o'clock at night, and I look for possible trades. It's kind of set it, forget it, put your entry, put your stop, put your target, go to bed. The next day, you're either up 2 or 3 hours or you're down 1 hour. So it's totally worth it. It doesn't happen every single night, but when it happens, it's super powerful. And you can wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning. You can wake up, 8 o'clock, a little bit earlier than always suggested. Wake up a little bit earlier than when the market is opening at 9:30, get into the market and do your plan and whatever. You have a wide array of elements and symbols that you can trade, not only the futures indices, but you could trade commodities as well. Gold, silver, platinum, copper. By the way, copper had an amazing move today. You could trade softs. You could trade anything, grains. You could trade coffee, beans, bonds. You could trade currencies. So you have a wide array. Plus, but wait, there's more. The futures market allows even the smallest account to participate in the market, because now, I think it started in 2018, if I'm not mistaken, either 2017 or 18, when the CME, I think it was 2018, when the CME adopted micros. Micros are 10th the size of the full size contract. So they're very appealing for any kind of trader. Because imagine, you know, instead of trading NASDAQ, which is $20 per contract, the $20 per contract per 1 point, you could have 1 point move for $2. So you could have an account, you could have a small account, let's say $5,000, and you could start trading futures. Okay. There's no manipulation. There are no upgrades or downgrades. You don't need any special indicator. In fact, I'm going to show you some charts. I don't have any special magic formula indicator that is going to tell me where the entry or the stop is. It's just plain, simple technical analysis. One of the most important thing about futures trading is that, like I said before, you don't need, you know, a lot of money to get started. For example, if you want to start day trading stocks, you need about $25,000 in your account, but there's a catch. You need way more than that, at least $30,000 to start off, because if you open it to your account with $25,000 because of the day trading pattern trader rule regulation, if you lose a penny, your day trading status out the door. So you cannot day trading that account anymore. And while in the futures market, allows you to open an account with as little as $5,000. And best of all, you could actually go under and your day trading status is not out the door. You just have to make sure you have enough for your margin requirement to continue trading. So that's, you know, a huge advantage, especially for traders that just want to get started. And yes, I know there are, you know, some brokers out there that allow you to open an account with $500. Please don't do that. You're just going to blow that immediately. This is not a market for $500 accounts. Now, let's get into the earnings vibe, right? So these are some examples for you. This is Netflix and this is NASDAQ side by side. So you can see here that Netflix reported earnings right before the market opened. The gray highlighted area represents the overnight trading session. And the white area right here represents just the New York trading session. So you can see here, they reported earnings right into here and the market and Netflix started to move down. Okay, started to move down. In sync, NASDAQ started to move down. So if you see that Netflix, for example, misses earnings or has, you know, some bad quarterly results, you could get positioned to short NASDAQ. Boom, just like that. And of course, you're going to make way more money shorting NASDAQ than you would ever make even shorting Netflix. Here's another example that occurred on the 14th. Here it is, the date, 14th. And this is just, it happened just not last Friday, but prior Friday. We had JP Morgan. It was the beginning of earnings season, and JP Morgan was the first to kick off earnings season. We had JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citi, First Delta, and UNH, first companies to report earnings. And these are really heavy in which index? Can you guys answer? In the Dow. They're all Dow components. So here it is. We have JP Morgan reported earnings, and this is before the opening bell. You could see the reaction right here. Well, in earnings season, I like to get up early and I like to take advantage of these moves. And I also look at the market before the market closes because that is easy money. So what I did, and this is actually a snapshot from my account. You could see here why I'm moving in sync. So once JP Morgan reported earnings, I immediately sensed that the Dow was going to move higher because we know the synchronicity, right? JP Morgan is a component of the Dow. And Dow doesn't even have a lot of components, has only 30 stocks. That is it. Okay, so this is my trade. You can see it right here. This is the expiration date. This is the day when I got it. This is when I entered it. I entered at 6:46 and I exited the trade at 9:26, just before getting ready for my trading room. And these are the results right here. 100-point move, right? You can see it right here from 661 to 771. All right, this is 100-point boom, just like that. And it just so happened that it happened super fast. Now, we're going to get back into that. We also had Wells Fargo, right? So it was not, my decision was not solely based on the earnings of JP Morgan, but was based on the release of Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo as well reported earnings before the opening bell and had a big move to the upside. Therefore, it reinforcing the direction, the higher directional bias of YM. So it's just like having, having somebody whisper in your ears, hey, you need to trade YM and you need to go long now. So find the setup and get in. So it's kind of like you have these whisper numbers telling you what you need to do. So it becomes like super, super simple and extremely predictive. Now here is, like I said, Wells Fargo reporting why I'm moving in sync. You have UNH, by the way, another big component. So you can see here that all the stock that reported earnings were moving higher. So therefore, it was literally a no-brainer to get in long YM. That's why I got it. And you could see here, pre-market YM heading higher. And here is the synchronicity momentum move in the Dow. So let me explain to you the trade that I got in, because with all the trades, you don't just jump in. You need to find a setup. Because once you have a setup, you have your trade tailored for you. You have your entry, you have your stop, you know how to position size, you have to position size. You can then determine how many contracts you can take the trade with, and then you could set your targets. And here's my entry, 661. My stop is 631, represented on the technical chart. We had a little bit of pause in price. This is where the companies reported their earnings. So I was like, hands off. I was looking at the charts and I was like, yes, okay, they're moving up. I didn't have that FOMO and say, oh my gosh, you know, I just got to jump in. No, I was waiting. Even if I would have seen like a momentum all the way to the upside, I would still be on the sidelines because I need to have that pattern that I can get into. And the best way to look at trades and the best way to find these trades is to look at the 15-minute charts, because they're not as fast as the 5-minute or the 2-minute and not as long-term as the 30-minute or the 1-hour for day traders. So 15-minute before the market opens and after the market closes are great time frames to use for this strategy, for the earnings strategy. So my entry is on this candle, taking above this little squishy sandwich. This is the bull sandwich right here. It's a strategy that we teach in our course to take advantage of. It's a pause of momentum. It's basically a little bit of break from the bulls. The bulls are running and now they're catching their breath and continuing the momentum higher. The stop goes below this red bar right here. You can see the stop 631. The risk is 30 points. My risk per trade, we're going to talk about that later. So we already determined target one and target two right here. into 720, 720, you can see we have a pivot resistance here. It's also a fulcrum, something that we teach. It's an institutional level that we teach into our course. And we wrote it a little bit higher. This was our exit point right here. But we did have two targets, the 720 and the 750, and then the last we trailed it out. So trail out price was 34.7071. Profit on the trade was 110 points. That is a total of 3.66 Rs. All right, early bird gets the worm in earnings season. This is what I have traded right here. I took 30 contracts. My risk per trade is $5,000. You could see here that if you would have traded with one contract, you would have had $550. I made on this trade $16,000 before the market even opened. Okay. All right. So basically, here's side by side another example. This is not something that, you know, this is something that you have to take very seriously if you're a trader. And not only a futures trader, but also a stock trader, because you could also trade this methodology using the Qs and the SPYs. Uh-huh. That's super cool, right? So this is IBM side by side with the Dow. So obviously you have pre-market move to the upside with a continuation higher. Here you go. This is basically where day traders have their first trade into the morning. My first trades are typically around 9:32 to 9:35 a.m. in a very strong ongoing trend. All right. So Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google also named the FANGs, and they're also part of the Fantastic Sevens, right? They bring great potential to your portfolio, but are very expensive to trade if you're a stock trader and they're trading into hundreds of dollars, right? So you need to have that big account in order to trade them. So AMD NASDAQ 100 futures outtrades the FANG stock combined by a really wide margin. NASDAQ 100 is a great way to access top tech market opportunities through capital efficiency of futures that can translate into significant savings and can take advantage of nearly 24-hour futures access. So sink your fangs into the mini NASDAQ 100 futures. I love trading earnings season, especially with these power plays like Facebook, now Meta, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google. Now, let's talk a little bit to get in depth into what we're talking about when the indices. So Dow is composed by 30 stocks, S&P composed by 500 stocks, NASDAQ by 100, and Russell by 2,000. So basically, you need to know what the components are, right? So it's not very hard, because if you have a little bit of trading experience, you can do that. But even if you don't have any kind of trading experience, just make sure you have your Fantastic Sevens on your charts or your FANG stocks. Make sure you know at least these 30 components right here, even if you don't need to use the 500 stocks here or the 100 stocks here, but just to understand the components. And this is also very important, that when I trade, I also have all of these market minders in front of me, because I want to know what is leading in which index, right? So I know what to focus on, because if I see that the Dow is mostly, the stocks within the Dow are mostly in the red, and if I see that the stocks in NASDAQ, for example, are into the green, I'm not going to trade the Dow. I'm not going to trade the S&P, because these are sometimes and a lot of times very, very similar in price action. But I'm going to focus more on NASDAQ, right? Because NASDAQ has more green stocks to the or more red stocks. You could have it depends. Well, you could have red stocks. If NASDAQ is all red, if S&P is green, if Dow is green, the NASDAQ is going to be the one that is going to be the laggard. And in a strong market environment, then your focus should be switching on the Dow versus NASDAQ. You got to switch where the dominant trends are. And if you have two or three indices that are, or ETFs like the QSPYs and Diamonds that are strong, and you have NASDAQ weak, don't try to buy NASDAQ or don't try to short NASDAQ, because NASDAQ is not going to do anything for you, except it's going to, you know, literally like wipe you out of the trade. It's just going to go bang, 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 bang. It's just going to wipe all your trades out. Focus on what is in play that day. Here's the synchronicity, and here's the link between the Dow and the Dow stocks right here. You can see majority of stocks here are into the green. Very few are into the red, and therefore the price action is continuing higher. It's not rocket science, I could tell you right now, but it's a great way to make money into the market. Here are some of the companies that in the stock market just about to release their earnings report. So, this is by size. Technology, you have Microsoft, you have Apple, you have NVIDIA, you have Google. See how big part of these markets are. These are the FANGs, and these are some of them, Fantastic Seven. So you need to be aware of when these companies report, because the market is going to move into the direction of their results. Now, how to trade earnings season via futures. And this is a checklist. Number one, you need to check your earnings. Now, remember, earnings are reported before the market opens or after the market closes. And historical time or to be released report. You got to find out what time usually they report. And CNBC does a good job on that. They will pretty much tell you what the approximate time of the release is. Number two, you need to trace your levels on stock that will potentially break to the upside or the downside and plan your trade. And of course, you got to trace your levels on the index that that you're going to be focusing on. So once again, because tonight, we have Alphabet and Microsoft that will be reporting earnings. I'm going to have my levels traced on both of these stocks, and I'm going to have my levels traced in NASDAQ. Why would I trace any level in the Dow? Why would I trace any level in S&P? I'm not going to care about those. So my focus is going to be NASDAQ and those two stocks. And I trade and watch NASDAQ, if NASDAQ stocks are reporting. So trade and watch the Dow when Dow stocks are reporting. So tomorrow, like I said earlier in this presentation, the Dow may be in play because Boeing, being a really big component into the Dow, will be reporting earnings before the market opens. So its activity and the results will impact the transition of the Dow index. What are the best times to execute the trades? Well, before the market open or after the market closes. So how to prepare for this? You need to know when certain stocks of interest report and have a good understanding of prior earnings behavior or the correlated stock that you will be trading via the corresponding index. Keep in mind, everything that I'm telling you guys right now is proprietary to Trade Out Loud. You're not going to hear this from anybody else. Or if you hear it from now on, they're just copying us. We had a lot of these copycats. And in fact, we do have our lawyer that is actually going after really some big companies out there that literally stole some really big slides from us. All right. So determine your key levels and plot your trade. Here is Microsoft earnings. All right. Here is an example. And by the way, this is from January of 2023. Boom. Here it is. Okay. You see Microsoft boom back up. Now take a look at NASDAQ. What do you think NASDAQ did? Bam, this is what NASDAQ did. So it correlates, it mimics the activity of the most dominant stock that reported earnings. Okay, here's another example, Netflix. This is another time moved up. This is what happened. We got in Netflix in here. It was also a real technical breakout, massive inflection point here. So we took it, and I basically took this long after the market, stock market closed, and I stayed in it overnight, and look at it go within the next day. Here it is the next day. Here it is after the market closed in the overnight into the next day. Trading again, NASDAQ and Netflix. This time around, Netflix went down. What did NASDAQ do? NASDAQ went down. So it's kind of like somebody's whispering to you saying, hey, you know what? Hold on just a second, guys. Hold on. Okay, sorry about that. We're in full construction here, and we had some landscaping people come in, and they're not allowed to walk on the patio. So sorry about that. Okay, so here is an example, NASDAQ short and with Netflix correlating. Here is another super duper trade we had at this time. We had Google, Amazon, Microsoft report earnings all on the same day before the market opens. And here is NASDAQ with a power move and continuing actually in the overnight higher. All right. Just a second. All right. Sorry about that, guys. Just a lot going on here with remodeling, construction, and all that stuff. Anyway, so you guys get the picture. It's all about the correlation between the index and the stock that is reporting. So on this day, we had Walmart that was literally blasting higher. And then you get the picture. Walmart is a component in the Dow. Then here we had Apple that really missed earnings, and we had NASDAQ down. And the best of all, this can happen in one day, because this happened in the same, on the, almost on the same day. Now, how to prepare? First of all, you need to determine the ESTR. What is the ESTR? The entry, the stop, the target, and the position sizing as well. And of course, the target. So what do you need to look for? You need to look for the dominant trend and whether that potential move is breaking the trend or is into a trend continuation. I love it when they're in a trend continuation. You have support resistance areas that you need to focus on and determine your game plan based on those key levels. You have time frames that have to be in sync. So for example, if you're trading Netflix, if you're looking at Netflix on the 15 minute, your chart of the index should be in the same time frame. Then you have to plot it, your entry, your stop, your target, and of course your position sizing. Try to determine the entries based on the chart time frame that is providing you with the most information. Don't be afraid to navigate back and forth, zoom in or zoom out on timeframes. As a guide, I use the 15 minute time frame, but at certain, you know, in certain times, I like to go on a 5 minute and 5 minute or 30 minute and 30 minute. The chart is going to tell you exactly where those entries are based on the system that you already know, or based on the knowledge that about entries and setups that you already have. Always place stops, because these are volatile and very dangerous moves. Wait for the trigger to happen. Never get ahead of the trigger, because if you're getting any kind of trade out, even outside of earnings season, without a defined trigger point, then you're opening the door towards an 80% loss on your trade. And have a trailing method in play. And knowing all this is going to give you peace of mind. And that's the only way you can trade stress-free. I don't feel any kind of stress when I'm trading. Here are some advantages to trading futures. Like I said before, you don't need a big account. You have lower commissions. You have tons of tax advantages, especially if you're not in the US. And if you're in the UK, you even have more tax advantages on top of already amazing tax advantages. You can take a short position with these, and you have a really great volume. This is my performance. And in fact, I did have this presentation. I had a tour for a group of traders that I presented this, but this is the performance from January 1st to July 13th. We're July 25th right now. And I always release my results to my traders that I'm going to show you in a few moments. That is for full transparency, because I can come here and it's very hard for you to select who's the real deal, you know, and who's like, you know, like, you're going on YouTube, you're going on Twitter, and you go like, oh my gosh, so-and-so is making money, it must be a good trader, right? But they don't have a track performance. This is my personal performance right here. And this is how your performance should be growing. Okay, this is one of the examples of a trading, let's say, of the battle within a day. A lot of times trades and days are a little bit harder than others. So for example, on this very day, I want to show you, you know, just an example of how I fight for the trades and how actively I am into the market. So we took a first trade in ES, and this was a loss. We took a second trade in the Dow, and this was a loss. We took a third trade in NASDAQ, and this was the break-even trade. We took another trade in NASDAQ, and this was a loss. But then again, we waited and waited and waited and waited, and we had three more trades. You can see that this trade right here, so this is a 1 hour loss, this is a 1 hour loss, and again, have the R system in place. You don't have it, you're not going to make it, period. I want to be as blunt as I can, because I want you guys to succeed. If you don't have an exact risk amount that you're going to use on every single trade, you're not going to make it, because you can't make up the losses. For example, if you're using you're risking, let's say 5 points in S&P, you're looking to make 5 points in S&P, or you're looking to make a point in NASDAQ, and then, you know, you're risking a point in NASDAQ, you're making a point in NASDAQ. That is a recipe for disaster, because that is not going to advance you in any way, and you're going to blow up your account, guaranteed, and you won't even know why. So you can see here, so I lost an R, three R's. I'm allowing myself 5 R's a day. So at this point, I have 2 more bullets up on my sleeve. So I took another trade right here. This is the fourth trade, because this one was zero, and this trade delivered 3.5 R's. Now, this one trade covered these losses right here and put me ahead half an R. And this gave me the courage to get back into this trade in S&P and into RTY, where I made another 1.5 R and 0.5 R. So losses for the day were 3 R's, but wins for the day were 5.9 R's. So you can see that the winning trades are far higher than the losing trades. So that day's total was 2.9 R gain. Okay. So who wants to work with me, and who's ready to have consistent gains and be ready to hit the market? Because you need to have a strategy when you're trading the market. So if you want to join me in the Power Income Trading Room, that is literally going to transform the way you trade, the way you analyze, the way you look at the market, the way you're going to see profits. It's going to teach you how to scale or not scale into targets based on price action. You're going to learn not to take your profits so fast. You're going to learn to stay in the trade as long as the momentum is still in. You're also going to learn not to hop into trades, because that's not a strategy. So remember this: procrastination is the assassination of the motivation that will stop you from reaching your destination. Don't delay when it comes to your trading education, your trading progress. So what to expect when you're on the TOL Power Income Trading Room? First of all, the room opens at 9 o'clock, and we start with the pre-market game plan around 9:15 to 9:20, which is going to last about 10 minutes that we cover the indices and the major plays that will be in play. Obviously, we cover every day gold, oil, metals, silver, anything that is commodity that is worth mentioning, or bonds or whatever is in play that day, because I do my homework before I come into the mic. You get institutional trading levels, and I tell you what these levels are, whether we should be bullish on the day, bearish on the day, or neutral on the day. We also have markings with bullish above, bearish below. And if, for example, we have a bullish above level, we know that that is not a shorting opportunity. So it means that once you see this, and this is traced right off the open, this is actually a moderate bullish above. So we know that once the price breaks 600, it's going to start flying higher. Okay. So that's really cool, because it's going to give you confidence, even if you want to design your own trades. But I do recommend that if you join my trading room, if you are not on a winning streak, do not take your trades. Just take my trades, period. Just my trades, and follow my trades to the T, and all your obligation is to position size for your trades. That's it. It's literally a no-brainer. We are going to get real-time precise trading. You're going to get, it's basically a hand-holding system. Like I'm telling you, like, okay, get in here. And the reason why. So you're going to learn why you need to get in here. I'm going to tell you where you place the stop, and why you need to place a stop there. So that's an important component, educational component. And I'm going to tell you what the targets are and where they're coming from, so you learn how to calculate them in the future. And I'm going to be in the trade with you and tell you every step of the way what you need to do. Okay. Who does that? Nobody. Literally nobody. I wish I had a trading room like that when I first started trading. One to three trades a day. Sometimes, you know, 5 trades a day. Rare occasions, exact parameters for every trade, entry, stop, targets, live trailing for the life of the trade, real-time response to your questions, live screen, lectures, mentoring. We have various price ranges. This is the most popular, the yearly. This is our monthly plan. And of course, if you're very new and say, oh, I don't know, I'm just going to check out and see, you know, how the room is and, you know, see if I like it. I mean, if you like to make money, you're going to be in my room. if you like to lose money, then you can do whatever you have done until now. And we have a 5-day pass experience as well. And what I wanted to show you here is a little bit. And by the way, these are our trades for today. Okay. These are our trades for today, trades that we took today. Outside of these trades, I also called two other trades in NASDAQ and YM Long that I personally didn't take because I had to be here. Okay. So I left money on the table just to share with you guys and to teach you how to trade this earnings season, and not only this earnings season, but earnings seasons to come. And definitely I want to put some money into your pockets. So these are the trades that we took. We have three swing trades and 3-day trades. Not only that, you're going to get a track performance, and this is by contract, right? This is not through position sizing. So I don't recommend you trade and come into the room and say, oh my gosh, I'm just going to trade with one contract. Okay. No, you're going to position size because you have a brain and we have evolved as humans, right? So we can do a little bit of math, right? The difference between the entry and the stop, boom, that's a number correlated to the size that you're risking per day. And that's how you become a consistent trader. You're also going to have your monthly performance. This is my monthly performance with how much money I make on each or lose on each and every single trade. You can see here, February, March, whatever, and it goes to the very day. You also have a risk management. So not only that I'm telling you to position size and leaving you in the air, no, I provide you with a risk calculator. So you have a risk calculator right here. You just tap on it. You can print it. You can actually customize it to your position size. And you could say, oh, okay. So if I have a 30-point stop, let's say in NASDAQ, then we're going to take NASDAQ with 8 contracts. Or if I have, let's say, a 90-point stop in NASDAQ, I don't know, I'm going to take it with 27 micros. Or if you want to trade micros or full size, it's up to you, but it's also based upon your risk level. Because if your risk right here, let's say it's $100, then you won't be able to take full size contracts, right? You will be only able to trade micro. So that's super simple.